The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
It's starting to whittle away. Less and less teams available in the Stanley Cup Playoffs as we bring you Episode 8. In the middle of May, Drew, things get awfully exciting. And one of my old phrases that I remember from the great Mike Emmerich, you know you've had a really great season when there are no out-of-town scores.
That is a great line. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the elite teams are still left in the playoffs.
Well, one of them is the Edmonton Oilers. And let us start with their series victory because they're the one team that's definitely moving on to the conference final. It was a 0-0 tie. A lot of crazy things happening in that game. A lot of great goaltending, primarily from Stuart Skinner, by the way, of the Edmonton Oilers, who reasserted himself. But on the other side of the ice, also Aiden Hill with some big stops. And yet it came down to OT. And, of course, it would be Kasperi Kapanen that would get the series winner.
Get over in his own zone to McNabb. Lost it at the Edmonton blue line.
Henrique's exhausted here.
Toss up the left wing. Claude Colson will bring it in on the left side. He'll get it all the way across to Draisaitl to the middle. The shot saved by Hill. The rebound, they're jamming away.
Hey, tip of the hockey helmet to the Edmonton Oilers for that. And, you know, somebody was talking about this yesterday, Drew. How about the irony? The fact that Kasperi Kapanen gets into the game, gets the series-winning goal in overtime. Remember where he was before the season started? He was a member of the St. Louis Blues, that team that signed those two guys from Edmonton to offer sheets. How beautiful is that for a turnaround for Oiler fans?
Yeah, good for him. An unlikely character, and that's what happens in the playoffs. It was really interesting watching this series, though. When you look at it, Jack Eichel had one goal. He had some assists, but one goal. Tomáš Hertl, zero goals in six. Barbashev, one goal. Dorofeev, one goal. And Howden, zero goals. The lack of production from the Vegas Golden Knights, I think you have to give credit to the checking, the defensive structure, the defensive awareness, attention to detail, call it whatever you want, by the Edmonton Oilers.
How about the decision of the coaching staff, too, with their lineup? They pulled out Victor Arvidsson, and they took out Ty Emberson, and they insert Kapanen, and so he gets into the lineup. And also on defense, they made a change by pulling out Emberson, and they did a really good job in getting it from not only Klingberg, but from Troy Stetcher, who came back and was very, very, very steady.
When you look at coaching in the last two seasons in the NHL, you look at what has been done in Edmonton and you have to tip your hat to Chris Knobloch. He's done a terrific job, absolutely terrific job. And you know as well as I do that when you are in the playoffs, making adjustments with lineup, making adjustments with the way you play, making adjustments with lines are a big part of making sure as a coach you're helping your team win.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the ice, it's got to be a stunned group of people in Vegas because they were the first place team in the Pacific Division most of the year. I'm looking at that lineup saying they're going to be awfully tough to stop in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and yet Edmonton found a way.
Danny, I look at the Vegas Golden Knights and I think, okay, what do you guys do next? When it's all said and done, first off, they're getting much older. Now, Edmonton's an older team, but the big players for the Vegas Golden Knights, they're getting older. And many of them have no trade contracts. And when it's all said and done, by the time next year starts, I think they've got about $10 million in cap space and they've got some guys to sign. I'm very curious to see what the Vegas Golden Knights do. Is this the start of them having to rebuild, even though they've only been in the league for 8 years and they've been very, very, very successful winning a cup, as we know, and winning so many games? But are they in a situation now that they have to reassess everything that's going on with their future?
I think they really have to reassess. And you know, it's kind of funny. That lengthy contract that Tomáš Hertl has on the books is probably going to hurt them in terms of their flexibility. It's just a little lesson to every general manager that beware of some of those lengthy 8-year, 7-year deals because they come back to bite you later. And I'm not saying Hertl is bad, by the way. I'm not saying anything is anything wrong with Hertl. He's great. But it's just the point of can the team make any adjustments? And we'll see if Vegas does.
Yeah, I'd never give a guy, I've told you this before, I'd never give a guy an 8-year contract. Sorry. I know that that's the rage, and I know that's what players want because they want that stability. But as a good friend of ours once said, it's hard to be hungry when you're full.
Well, that's going to be the story for the Vegas Golden Knights, no doubt about that. And Edmonton is also getting something else that's very important, and that's rest.
Yep. And the other thing that is you look at here with their rest is Matthias Ekholm.
Exactly.
And can that rest help him get back in lineup? The talk today was, the day we're recording this, was that he won't be ready for game one, but the time that they're in the playoffs, the rest that they get, he's getting closer, and that will really improve Edmonton's chances.
That's a major impact player that would get back into the lineup. Of course, you know, you hope that he's at 100% or close to it so that he can make those contributions that you expect. But don't forget about Calvin Pickard, too. He's a big part of this playoff run for Edmonton. And yeah, Stuart Skinner has kind of taken things back now with his tremendous performances in the last couple of games. But you know, never know. They may need another goaltender before this is over.
Well, you would think so, right? It's been very, very... I don't say inconsistent is not the word, but it's been a consistent back and forth with goaltenders in Edmonton. They haven't found their guy, they don't think, but maybe they have if they're just a little bit more patient.
Let's move on to the Winnipeg Jets series against the Dallas Stars. Winnipeg backs to the wall at home. They get the whiteout going. And very early on, Connor Hellebuyck came through.
Ben still with it. Ben rolling along the boards. He'll head it back off. Side of the slot. Now out in front. Harley is gone. And it's clubbed down by Hellebuyck in front of the net. Side of the slot. Back out in front. And Harley tried to go top shelf. And no, 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 says Connor Hellebuyck. He gloves that down, does the windmill, and hangs on for a whistle.
Paul Edmonds with the call on that one. And then, of course, he'd be calling the action when Mark Scheifele would put the Jets in front.
Grabbed by Rantanen, pumped off a check. Rantanen side of the slot here, out toward the front of the net, and Wyatt Johnston lost the puck. Winnipeg starts back the other way. Three strong at center ice. Neil Pionk, far side for Connor. Into with a slot for Scheifele, moving in, shooting! It's off a skate, he scores! Mark Scheifele with his second goal of the series. Winnipeg gets a break in 4-on-4 hockey. They open up the scoring. And with 13:43 remaining in the second period, it's 1-0 for the Jets.
Hey, Drew, is that what a 4-on-4 goal sounds like? The Sharks didn't score any this past year.
I was thinking the same thing, which is absolutely incredible to me. But that was a very interesting game last night. And emotions started to get heated near the end of the game.
Boy, did they ever. And that, of course, is just a great rivalry that's developing between Dallas and Winnipeg, the Jets, the President's Trophy winners, and Dallas, kind of the Carolina of the West, a team with four lines, lots of depth, and, of course, Ottinger in goal. But Nikolaj Ehlers would come up and score a huge one to make it 2-0 Winnipeg.
Velarde for Scheifele, break wide, far side for Connor, down low Ehlers, strong shot toward the net, he Nikolaj Ehlers from the goal line. The wraparound goes along the ice past Ottinger. It's a power play goal.
That made it 2-0 Winnipeg. And then former Shark great Vladislav Namestnikov made it 3-0.
Jamie Benn took one from Niederreiter. Winnipeg back across the line. Iafallo moving in. Shoot! And he just put a wide on the far side on that rush. Iafallo back into the corner. Out in front of Namestnikov. Shoot! Score! Bar down for Vladislav Namestnikov. Some great hard work off the rush by Iafallo. He got his own rebound back out in front. Nobody picked up Namestnikov. and it's 3-0 Winnipeg with under 8 minutes remaining in this third period.
Well, eventually it came down to the empty net situation. The Winnipeg Jets just kept on pushing.
Rebound into where the corner. 55 seconds to go. Far side. After it again, Winnipeg and Perfetti. A backhand all the way down. Race for the puck. Nikolai Ehlers shoots. Score! Nikolai Ehlers with his second of the night. Second empty net goal of the series. And Winnipeg will make it 4-0 with 45 seconds remaining in this third period. Start up the Jet. The Jets are heading back to Texas.
That they are. And of course, after the game, all the microphones were on Captain Adam Lowry of the Winnipeg Jets. And he talked about how they pulled it all together.
When the chips are down, you know, guys are going to show up. And, you know, it's only one game, though. We got to do the same. We got to win a road game. You know, we haven't played well on the road at all this playoffs. So no better time than now to start. And, you know, like we've done all year, we're going to review this one, find the areas that we need to improve on, and go and try and implement that in game six.
Just some calm leadership there from Adam Lowry. He's turning into an excellent captain. Nikolai Ehlers, who had the two goals, also talked about what's up next.
We were down 3-1 in the series. So that made it pretty easy, and playing at home in front of our crowd is special. So, like we've said before, we don't want to be done playing hockey, and I think today showed that. We just got to take that to the next game.
But Drew, here's the rub: a 6-1 at home for Connor Hellebuyck with a 1.73 goals against average, 0-5 on the road.
They haven't won on the road yet this year.
Incredible.
This in the playoffs. This is a team that is a homer team without a doubt. It's going to be very, very intense in this game back in Dallas. Things got heated last game, Scheifele and Ben. Lowry was getting into it with a few others. It's become that emotional series after playing, you know, now five games against each other. You start to really dislike the opposition. We've seen it many, many times with San Jose Sharks hockey in the past years. So looking forward to game five in Dallas, because I thought Dallas was yesterday. I didn't think they had showed much. It was kind of a funky start too, where you thought that the emotions were going to be right there up front, boiling over right away because there was so much on the line. And it really was a kind of a uneven stop and start. And it's not the way Dallas wants to play.
Well, the scrum that you were talking about was late in the third period. Winnipeg was up 3-0 at that point, and it was right after a whistle. Jamie Benn and Scheifele were kind of tangling, and then Ben sucker punched him, basically, with the linesman in between. He was caught off guard, Scheifele was, and he was pretty mad. But as it turned out, Ben got a penalty for roughing and a 10-minute misconduct. And what ended up happening after that was he got fined $5,000 by the National Hockey League. So they're basically saying, we're not going to suspend you. Of course, if it was really late, well, last 5 minutes of the third period, theoretically, if you get a game misconduct, you could get suspended. But that didn't happen. They just decided to slap him on the wrists a little bit and see if he disciplines himself next time out.
Good left hand, though.
Oh,
really good left jab.
Right in front of Darren Pang, too. I think Panger was pretty surprised for the TV crew.
Panger, yeah, was down there. Yeah, good left hand.
Well, so there we have it. So now it's going to be do or die for Winnipeg. They have to finally win on the road. But even if they win on the road and they come back home for Game 7, Drew, let's not forget that Pete DeBoer is 9-0 in Game 7s in his career.
Dallas Stars didn't lose two games all year until the end of the year where they rested a bunch of guys. Two games in a row all year until the end, like I said, when they decided to put some guys on as healthy scratches just to give them a rest. That's incredible.
It's an exciting Western Conference playoff series. Who's going to play the Edmonton Oilers? We'll find out before our next show.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
To the Eastern Conference we go, and one series is over. The first-place Washington Capitals, just like the first-place Vegas Golden Knights, are out of the playoffs. A very disciplined Carolina Hurricanes team that just keeps coming at you in waves, came at them in waves, and indeed, they would get the victory against the Washington Capitals. It was 1-0 when the captain, Mr. Staal, put the puck in the net.
Stahl gets a chance, and he scores! There's a huge goal for the captain as he consumes his first in the series, and the Canes have a 1-0 lead.
That's Mike Maniscalco for Carolina Hurricanes Radio, and he was on the call, too, when Anthony Beauvillier knocked one in for Washington.
Pass too far for Beauvillier. Slavin, man, he is everywhere. He plays it off his own backboard. Out in front, they'll score. Anthony Beauvillier will take advantage of an odd bounce, and the Caps have tied it at one.
That was a pretty important goal and a kind of a fluky play, but the most important goal was scored by Mr. Svechnikov.
Now here's Jarvis. Could be a 3-on-2 for Carolina. Svechnikov, he'll get it right back from Walker, and he scores! A sharp angle! Andrei Svechnikov! He beats Thompson, and Carolina, with a minute 59 to go, takes a 2-1 lead.
They'd end up winning it by the score of 3-1. And, Drew, you know, we talked a moment ago about how we look at this team, the Carolina Hurricanes, as sort of the Eastern Conference version of Dallas. Well, how about this? Mikko Rantanen is on his way to a Conn Smythe trophy if he can keep the Stars going. He's got 9 goals, leads every single playoff player. But Svechnikov has 8 goals. He's really giving them a lot of offense.
They're the team, the Carolina Hurricanes, that are the least talked about terrific team in the National Hockey League. We really don't talk about Carolina and how well-balanced they are, how they play a certain way with consistency. Freddie Anderson's been the best goalie in the National Hockey League playoffs this season. I haven't talked about him. It's a team that just consistently wins all the time. Now, what is this? Their third conference championship in, can't remember it now. In
three the last and four years, something like that. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So again, we should know that, but we don't because it's Carolina. Nobody talks about the unsexiest great team in the league.
Well, it's the man behind the bench that does it for me. Rod Brind'Amour sets the tone. He's as well conditioned as some of the athletes that are playing for him, even now that he's in his 50s. But it's just a style of hockey that they play, and you adjust to their system. They don't adjust to you. And when you do adjust and when you do accept it, you're part of something pretty special. And it's funny you mentioned the defensive hockey, Drew. As I'm looking at the stat sheet here, Carolina is indeed number one in goals against average. Number two is Florida. Now, Bobrovsky is getting a lot of credit for where the Panthers are, even though they're a well-balanced team and a cup champion. And Washington, the team eliminated, third. So it's kind of interesting to see that top three.
Yeah, all in the East, right?
Yeah.
You have to win close games. We know that in the playoffs, the defense and goaltending take over. What I see with Carolina is their leaders, Stahl, Burns, Slavin, that's just to name a couple of them, they don't take shifts off. They push all the time. Anderson's another one of those guys. Jarvis, another one of those guys. You look at that team, and they have got a bunch of underrated superstars on that club and big-time leaders. That's why they consistently win. And you go back to Rod Brind'Amour, one of the reasons is because of their head coach.
Who are they going to play? Well, we're going to find out. And there is a run on razor blades in the city of Toronto right now. Everybody is on the verge of just having an apoplectic seizure. Absolutely not sure what to do. Jerseys thrown on the ice last game in Toronto. People leaving early. Everything happening. And that's because the way that the Panthers started out.
Jesper Boqvist left side, cruising in left. Circle a shot. Save made wall. Rebound out to the slot. Reinhardt a try. Then a rebound from Boqvist as well. And Wall able to weather the storm there. A couple of big saves for the Leafs goaltender. A turnover. Matthews gave it to Barkov. Out in front. Boqvist looking for Reinhardt. Ekblad a shot. And he scores! Top shelf, Aaron Ekblad. And the Panthers take a 1-0 lead with 5:22 to play here in the first.
Key to Doug Plagans is called. You hear that? Turnover by Matthews. He struggled in terms of production this series.
Well, I rattled off Vegas. Here's the big guys for Toronto. Marner, 1 goal in 10 games in the playoffs. Matthews, 1 goal in his last 8 games in the playoffs. Nylander's been okay. He hasn't scored in the last 3, but he's been the most productive of the big 4. And for Tavares, he's got 2 goals in his last 7, but that was in 1 game.
And then there's Marner.
I said Marner, 1 in 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at you, and then not only that, 1-10, and a huge
nice
mistake.
Turnover. Nice turnover.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at this team, if they happen to lose this series, Danny, can they stay the same? Can they run it back another year?
I don't know.
I don't see it.
The pressure will be so intense there if this series ends. And of course, you could just definitely tell near the end of the contest with, you know, all of the people just losing control and everything else. And yeah, Toronto did get a goal. It was Nick Robertson, though, who put it in.
Puck along the near boards. Robertson got it. Got a backhand away and scores. Area. One of the Leafs is down. Is that Robertson after scoring the goal?
No, I think it was Max Domi. Robertson was down after he slid it in. I think it was.
That's how it went in. Nick Robertson getting credit for the goal, but you could hear Joe Bowen's despair at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Well, those that have stayed have been the troop. They have celebrated Nick Robertson's goal, but there has been very little to celebrate here tonight. Panthers playing catch on the outside with the final 6 seconds. It'll be played down into the corner. They would be just as happy to keep it away, and there is the horn to end the game.
Craig Berube certainly was not in a very good mood after the game, and he wasn't in a good mood and hasn't been since then when he talked about what happened.
We went out in the first period and just overthinking things and not playing. Like, we didn't move our feet. We didn't compete. We didn't, you know, we were tentative in the game. We can't play like that.
And so how do you think about game number 6? Well, the head coach of the Maple Leafs had some thoughts.
Well, the things I just said, like, you know, you have to skate, and you got to compete. It's going to be physical. We know that. It's tight. And take the thinking out. Go play. Be aggressive. You can't not be aggressive. You have to be aggressive, and you got to get numbers in there. And then, like I said, the system and the structure takes care of the thinking, you know? And, you know, that's what I want them to do. Like, go out and play hockey. Like, play with structure, but be aggressive. We'll be a lot better in game 6.
Craig Berube, a calming force there in front of the media, and you have to be a calming force if you're the Maple Leafs coach.
I liked what he said, take the thinking out of it. And I know that's kind of silly to say when you talk about you got to be able to think the game, but when the game at this point, the level it's at, it's all instinct now. You read and react. And you have to focus on just going out there and, as he said, just playing hockey and not focus on the result. They were, in many people saying, the biggest game of their careers. I don't know if that's true or not when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but a big game, obviously, because it's a playoff game. And you've lost the last two, and you come back home, and you play like that, that was abysmal. It was unforgivable.
But reminds me of some Sharks playoff series, you know, Drew, where they had some stinkers in the middle of a series, yeah, and it was a bad sign for the rest of it.
Always game 6s with the Sharks, except the one in Colorado. But when you look at this series, they have scored that one goal that you played in the last 120 minutes, 55 shots, one goal, and it was that goal, garbage time at the end. Bobrovsky's been great. Front of the net, been owned by the Florida Panthers. And you have to think that you as a coach, you're trying to get these guys just to go out and play and not, that's why you talked about aggressiveness. You cannot go out trying not to lose, because that is a recipe for disaster, especially against a team like the Florida Panthers, who know how to close out a series.
Well, of all the Maple Leafs, I think Morgan Rielly has been on the team the longest, and he talked about what was needed in game 6.
Competitiveness and execution, I think, is what it comes down to most nights, ultimately. And then there's lots of things within that, you know, within our structure, within how we play, you know, that we need to clean up. But ultimately, it's up to our group to go out there and execute and play as though your season's on the line.
And a big part of it, too, is belief, as Craig Berube said to the fans in Toronto. That's the one word that they had to remember.
Well, believe like our team believes. You know, I think that's all you can do. And I get it. I do. They're fans. I mean, they pay good money to come see the game. They want to see results. And I've been around Philly for a long time, too. It's a lot of the similar stuff. I mean, it's just part of the game. I'm not focused on the fans. You know, I'm focused on our team.
Once again, Craig Berube, the voice of reason there as they approach the potentially last game of their year against the Stanley Cup champions in the Stanley Cup champions building. It's going to be really fascinating to see.
I've been very impressed with the Florida Panthers, Danny. If after a sluggish start, let's say, in this series, going down two, they started playing Florida Panthers hockey, and that team is still the Stanley Cup champions until somebody knocks them off the perch. So I'm looking at this game as we record this tonight as something that will be, monumental when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs history with these big four, big five guys that they have that have been often criticized, and justly so, for their lack of big game abilities in the playoffs.
Meanwhile, 17 different players, to my count, have scored a goal for the Florida Panthers in this playoff round, and not just this playoff round, but this playoff season. And Paul Maurice, the head coach of the team, says that's huge.
Well, I'm thinking that we got 26 guys here, so that makes nine guys that are getting chirped pretty hard every day. The goalies feel good, right? Like it, playoff goals especially, but anytime. The goal is what makes you feel good. When you got a guy that's not scoring, it's always the same line of thinking. I don't have my confidence. I don't have confidence. So as a coach, you go, well, how do I give a guy confidence? Like, score harder. Like, how do you do that? So the fact that you can spread it around, that they're all carrying into a game a belief, a reasonable belief that they can score, because they have. In the last 10 games, they've scored a goal. They feel it. They feel good about where they're at. You can't do much for a guy when he doesn't have that positive feeling. Like, you're getting your chances. Hang in there. But to have a number of guys that come to the rink feeling good about their game is really important.
And it also is pretty important to have goaltending, and Bobrovsky's giving it to them.
100%. He's been terrific. And first of all, how great is Paul Maurice?
One of the best.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, one of the best without a doubt. And he's right. We've talked about this many, many times. You come to the rink wanting to score, period. Nobody comes to the rink thinking, I just want to shut down and block the opposition center and block three shots. Nobody does that. You always want to go into a game scoring a goal. That's how you win games. And I also like the fact that Paul Maurice talked about the 26 players, because last year we talked about it. Paul Maurice said it's not just about the guys who are going on the ice. And he talked about a moment with Jonah Gadjevich coming into the dressing room after a playoff win when he wasn't playing. And I just love the fact that it's such a team feeling and atmosphere and chemistry with the Florida Panthers. But Bobrovsky has, once again, playing like Big Bob in the playoffs. And he's got his game back and looks, unbeatable.
Some final thoughts about some changes in the last couple of days in the National Hockey League. Number one, Drew, Kenny Holland is now a general manager again, named by the LA Kings to organize what's there. He talked a lot about the 105-point season. He's keeping Jim Hiller, and off they go, and they're off and running. Rick Tocchet, hired, not surprisingly, by the team he used to play for, the Philadelphia Flyers, says he's learned a lot from his days in Vancouver. And the Canucks making Adam Foote the head coach. He's never been a head coach before in the NHL, had a little bit of experience in the Western Hockey League, but he knows the players, and most importantly, Quinn Hughes is happy that he's the man.
Adam Foote will be interesting. I think it's going to be a smooth transition there. I'm not a big Adam Foote fan, as you know, because of Marco Sturm.
Me
so
too.
I'm just going to lay that out there. Yep. Rick Tocchet, again, no surprise. Kenny Holland really was a surprise. I was surprised a little bit about the Jim Hiller decision quickly, but I forgot that he had Jim Hiller in as an assistant coach in Detroit with Mike Babcock. So he knows Jim a little bit there. Jim Hiller, I imagine, has kept himself awake at night over that terrible, terrible challenge. And also the way that his team played in third period. So I'm sure he'll be a better coach next year. Very interesting that we're going to see more of this starting to come around. There's also some other other jobs still available. So I'm also curious about if with the Toronto Maple Leafs, if they don't win, what happens to all those guys? Do they decide to break them all up and Marner will be the first shooter drop?
It's going to be fascinating. And of course, there's a lot of great hockey still to be played. We thank you for joining us for another edition of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.